We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
On December 17th of 1903, the Wright brothers were in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. They were trying to get that flying machine of theirs up and off the ground. And after four unsuccessful attempts, they finally got it to fly for 12 seconds. Wilbur was so excited that he ran down to the telegraph office. It was 1903. He sent a telegram back home to Ohio because he wanted his family to know. And what he said in that telegram was, "We flew 120 feet. Be home at Christmas." His sister Catherine received that message and was so excited about the news that she ran down to the newspaper office and took that telegram. And the next day in the local newspaper, that's what it said, was Wright brothers to be home for Christmas. While they may have missed this feat of flying for their newspaper that day, I think it talks about the importance that we place on coming home at Christmas. I know that over the last couple of weeks, I've been asked more than once, what are we doing for Christmas? And I guess I have done that same thing with some of you as you've come through the church. And there's something, I don't know, it's something deep inside us, I think, that brings us back home, particularly at this time of year, where we want those things that we remember in that place that we call home. A preaching professor that I like reading her books, Barbara Brown Taylor, you might like her as well. She says that if you can't get a message across in 12 minutes, you're doing it wrong. So, but she says that some of you are keeping up, some aren't you? We'll slow it down just a little bit. Okay. Barbara Brown Taylor. But what she says is that Christmas acts as a time machine for some of us. It takes us back to all those Christmases in our memory, that for some, it might be the smell of that fresh cut pine Christmas tree in their home. For others, it might be the taste of the turkey and dressing that was on the tables. For others, it might be mom and dad in their bathrobes sipping coffee while the children chase a new puppy around through the wrapping paper there on the floor. I remember for me, long ago, I guess I was 8 or 10 years old, but we woke up on one Christmas morning and the rain was coming down in buckets that day. And for Christmas, I had gotten a new bicycle. And I remember my mom and dad allowing me to ride that bicycle inside the house for that one time. But it's different for everybody. Everybody has different memories of home, and I'm sure that many of you are anxiously awaiting the opportunity to go home again for Christmas, but I do know there are probably some others here in the room with us today who aren't quite so excited about going. Some of you may actually be dreading the coming of Christmas because, well, a loved one may not be there at heart and home again. I know that the Murrah family, who, if you were here yesterday, I know it will be a difficult Christmas for them and all of their families. But you might be joyous at this time of year. You might be sad. Christmas might be warm and bright for you, or it may be something different altogether. Your home might be lovely, or it might be broken. John Ortberg puts it like this. He's the pastor of a large church in California. He says that there is that home that we dream of, that idealized version of home that we think of, and then there's the home that we actually have, and that there's always a gap between them. But I do know that somewhere there's a place that your soul and your heart and your mind identify as home. May not be where you were born, may not be where you lived for very long, but somewhere there's a place that you identify as home. And wherever that is, I'd be willing to wager that you always love to go back there. You always want to go back. We all know that Joseph and Mary were away from home that very first Christmas. In Matthew 1:20, we learn where Joseph is told, take Mary home to be your wife. And we know that didn't last very long. They had to very quickly make that trudge trip down to Bethlehem there. So they were away from home that Christmas. The shepherds, who by very nature of what they did for a living were away from home. And even those wise men that were making the trip were away from home because they wanted to be able to worship the King. And when we're away from home, I think we're always just a little bit lost. It doesn't matter if you're staying in that 4-star resort somewhere or if you're visiting family or friends and staying in their home, wherever you might be, it's just not home. And we get a little homesick and would love to get back again. I think the same thing happens with our faith when we get away from home, when we are away from our church, when we're away from this community of people who love one another. I think we get a little homesick for God. Ever since Adam and Eve chose to leave the Garden of Eden, we have always wanted to get back home again. There's always been that deep-seated homesickness that lives within us, a fervent desire for a community of people who care about each and every one of us. And this thought can be traced all the way through the Bible, beginning in the Old Testament, in Psalm 90, Moses, who may well be the most famous traveler of all time, put it this way. He declares that home is where God is. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all the generations. The very next Psalm in 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. In Genesis 8, verse 9, we read part of the story of Noah and the great flood. It had rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And when it had stopped, the story goes that Noah opened a window there in the ark and released a dove to fly away and see if perhaps the waters had receded enough for them to start getting out of the ark. But the dove returned because he could find no place to set his feet. It uses those words, set his feet. And in the Hebrew, That's not exactly a great translation of those words. It translates directly as home. And I think that's a pretty cool way of looking at it. It's a good description of home. We're looking for that security, not just for a place for our feet, but for our hearts as well. Joseph and Mary traveled on that first Christmas. They had to go to Joseph's family's hometown, that tiny little village of Bethlehem down there. And that's where Jesus was born. And in a sense, Joseph too could have said, "I'm coming home for Christmas." Now, another one was that wanted to go home was Dorothy. Marty loves using the movie analogies when he's preaching up here. And I think a couple weeks ago we decided Wizard of Oz was one that would work. So I'm going to lean back on that one as well. But Dorothy's, the premise of the entire movie is Dorothy trying to get back home. There's a little girl here in our church that reminds me of that all the time. I think most of you know Gail Perley. There's not much happens in this church that doesn't have Gail's stamp on it. And she's got a granddaughter, Olivia, that if you don't know, I hope you will. And like most little girls, she loves to play dress up. And she's got a beautiful pair of little red slippers that she wears running up and down this church. She's always in motion. She's always moving. And I love those red shoes. It so happens that my beautiful wife, Wanda, who rarely misses one of my sermons because she knows I'm going to talk about her each time, happened to be emailing with her best friend just this week about a particularly difficult day that she had been having. And it just so happened that Lynn told her, her response was, "Well, girl, you put on your red slippers and just keep clicking your heels." I thought that was a great answer and wanted to be able to share that. The Reverend Dr. Tim Keller puts it like this. He says, "Christmas is the end of thinking you are better than someone else, because Christmas is telling you that you could never get to heaven on your own. God had to come for us in Jesus Christ." And that's what we do when we've got those red shoes on and we stop and click our heels, because we know that there's nothing that we can do that would bring God any closer. We have to stand still and allow God to come and fill each and every one of us. All we have to do is stop and click our heels a minute. Don't you want to be home for Christmas this year? Not necessarily that physical home, but not just that earthly home, but to truly be home for Christmas, you have to let God into your house. You have to dwell in Jesus Christ. Until you do that, you're going to continue to feel frustrated and upset and just a little bit homesick, until you find your home in Him. I think it's time for you to come home right now. The good news is you don't have to go and find the home. The God Emmanuel has already found you.